אליהו, וישמע שחקיה בן מתן, וגדליהו בן פשחור, ויוחל בן שלמיהו, ופשחור בן מלכיה, They heard these words of Yirmiyahu. Pashhur is a very popular name in this book. He's all over the place. It's not necessarily the same person, although there's a Maamar Chazal that some of the cases it's the same Pashhur. Remember back in chapter 20, he's the one who punched Yirmiyahu in the face to get him to shut up. So Yirmiyahu followed with a great dirge about his sorry state and how he wishes he wasn't a Navi and how he wishes he could just rid himself of this terrible burden where the people despise him. So here, these four men hear this word of Yirmiyahu saying, Komar Hashem hayoshev ba'ir hazos yomus b'cherev barav v'vadaver v'yotzei al akastim v'choya v'haysalo nafsho l'shalo v'choy. They heard the words of Yirmiyahu that said, give yourselves up. Don't stay in this city following guerrilla war tactics. Just give yourself up to the kastim, and your life will be your surety. You'll be able to live. This has been the message since back in chapter 21, the first message. Hezekiah said to him, what should we be doing now with these onrushing Babylonians? He said, lay down your arms. Give up everything to them. This is what the Neturei Karta want us to do for Iran, right? The wasn't much more popular then than to consider it now. It may be for a different reason. Yirmiyahu wants it because of an oracle from God. The Neturei Karta wants it because Jews shouldn't be running a political existence. Right? So here he's saying that the people are reacting to this message. Remember the good figs and the bad figs? Remember those baskets? This has been throughout the mid-30s of this chapter, of this Sefer, has also been a similar message. Komar Hashem, Hinason Tinosein Ho'ir Azos Biad Chel Melech Bavel Ulchada. This city, Hinason Tinosein, gives an urgency to it. It will surely be taken over by them. There's not even a chance to avoid it now. Now, we always learn that there is always a chance to undo a negative prophecy. If everybody is so perfect, Hashem always leaves a door open, just slightly. But you know what? You have to be so good that you just know that tshuva is taken from. Even the Rambam, who is such a stickler on free will, lists all kinds of behaviors that make it veritably impossible that they don't to change their ways. But we always want to keep the door. Remember the example I gave about the boy who's looking forward to that annual hockey game and he does something so terrible. But you know what? I don't want to shut the door because then you'll shut me out. Let's see if you could be so good. Right? I've done that. I made deals like that with students this year and it, in some cases it turned them around. Totally. I have one student who has been, it was just that one deal we made. Made him a new kid. Everyone, you know, deals differently with different incentives. Right? V'yimar asur mel ha-melech, you must know as ha-ish ha-zeh, ki al-kein hu merapeh es yidei anshei milchama nishri ba'ir ha-zos, ve'es yidei kol ha-om ha-bedaber alayhem kad v'yimar ela, ki ha-ish ha-zeh inenu doresh l'shalom la-om ha-zeh, ki im l'ra'ah. Long pasuk. The Sarim told the king, right? Now, it's never safe in this book to really figure exactly when something is happening if it's not given. We don't have a date. The previous, or a king who says it, there's a previous, the previous parsha, the previous perek that starts on this inyan was Tzidkiyahu. So this is in the days of Tzidkiyahu, right? So in it would be somewhere between 597 and 586. He ruled for 11 years. And they said, the officers said, this man is weakening the hands of the people who are fighting in Yerushalayim to see that this city does not fall. This is treachery. We have to get rid of such a man. Yirmiyahu says, then you will certainly be destroyed. Now, you see, usually when a king is considered too weak, we say that he's too weak to stand up to someone. Right? You see the irony? Tzidkiyahu is too weak to be weak. You get the point? He's too weak to lay down the arms. Because the popular movement in the country was to fight the Babylonians. After all, the god who took out the mighty Egyptian superpower when we didn't have an army can surely take out the mighty Babylonian superpower when we do have an army. Right? Look, if there was Yirmiyahu saying these kind of things in the Hanukkah story, saying these Greeks are too powerful, that we've been sinful, and now the Greeks are going to take over, you know, in retrospect, we'd say that would have been wrong, because we did manage a resounding, miraculous defeat in the Hanukkah story that's memorialized every single year.
But we got help from Rome, too, right?
Yeah, look, you know, that's all of that was from God.
It was geopolitics back then, too.
Could be geopolitics here, too. They chapter 2, we learned that they appealed for help from the Assyrians and the Egyptians. It never showed up. Another sign of phenomenal weakness. He's the king. The buck stops with you, buddy. What do you mean he's in your hands? Do with him what you want. Just say something like, listen, he has conferred with me on many occasions. After all, Tzidkiyahu, back in chapter 21, called him and said, tell me, Yirmiyahu, what's going to happen? Maybe God will do some of the miracles he's done for us in the past. Right? Previous chapter 36, where he said, Yirmiyahu, shh, don't tell anyone. What should I do? And he said, give up. And Tzidkiyahu said, don't tell anybody you said that. Right? So, Vayikhu es Yirmiyahu, Vayishlichu oso el habor Malkiyo ben Melech HaShebachatzar HaMatara, Vayishalchu es Yirmiyahu b'chavolim. Now this Malkiyo ben HaMelech is it Malkiyo, the son of a man named HaMelech? Or is it Malkiyo, the son of the king?
Why
isn't
it just natural it's the son of the king?
Son of the king, of course. It's just amazing that the king's own son would be involved with throwing him in. Mother Russia. Why is the king's own son so gung-ho on this?
Because he wants his job.
I want to be the next king. Right? Or at least my brother. Right? And they threw him in ropes. Because if there was water, he would have drowned. If he's tied up. Right? And there was clay. Mud.
It says here, mire.
Mire. They're all good.
Okay.
Here it says mire also. Okay. So it was like he would float in it. He would not drown because he was tied up. Vayishma eved melech hakushi ish saris v'hu beveis hamelech kinusnus yamiyahu el habor v'melech yoshev shar binyamin. A man named Eved Melech HaKushi. The Stama, he was Ethiopian. Right? The Kushi. It means that he was from Kush. Right? Which is Ethiopia. Right? So the man named, usually it's translated as Eved Melech. It doesn't mean a servant of the king. That's his name. Eved Melech HaKushi. And he's heard about what happened to Yirmiyahu. Vayetze Eved Melech mibeis HaMelech vayedaber al HaMelech lemor. So Eved Melech, this guy, left from the house of the king and spoke to the king. Aduni HaMelech, Hey Reyo Anashim Ha'eles Kol Asher Asul Yirmiyahu HaNavi Eser Asher Yishlichu El HaBor V'yomos Tachtov Mipnei HaRov Ki Ein Alechem Ot Bo'ir. He says that the people did wrong to Yirmiyahu to throw him in the pit like that. Right? He surely will die of hunger. There's no food. He'll die of hunger because he'll die of hunger and thirst. Even if there is bread, he'll die of hunger and thirst. But there is no bread. There is no bread. Okay. So, Vayetzaveh HaMelech is Eved Melech HaKushi Lemor. So the king commanded Eved Melech HaKushi. Look, you can see deep down that Tzidkiyahu is a decent guy. He wants to do the right thing. He's just so weak. And there's probably a good reason for this, because when his nephew, Yehoyachin, was exiled, that was considered the end. Right?
But who was exiled?
Yehoyachin. Remember in Yechezkel, and Daniel, and Esther? Imagolo asher hoglasa, im yechanyo melech Yehuda. They carried off all the higher echelons of society. Right, so he commanded, "Kach biyadcha mizeh shloshim anoshim." He says, "Yirmiyahu, Navi min habor b'terem yimus. take 30 men and take your miyahu out of the pit. Now, what just jumps out at you from this pasuk?
How do you do that?
30 men? You need 30 men to take someone out of a pit? Why so many men? Right? He commanded to take 30 men. Mitoch shekochon tosh v'ra'ov nitzruchu kulan. They were so famished from the famine, from the this hunger.
They don't have strength.
They don't have strength. 30 men to pick up one. Yirmiyahu must have been pretty skinny too, with his stomach. But, or you can explain because they knew that they might come to resistance. There might be some people who don't want to take Yirmiyahu out of the pit. So these 30 can probably, you know, get their point across.
Who said to take 30 men?
Kiyo told, take 30 men. ויקח עבד מלך הסנושים בידו ויבוא בייס המלך על תחס האוצר ויקח משם בלויי סחבוס ובלויי מלאכים וישלחם אל ימיהו אל בור החבולים. How did they pull them out? They took old rags and cloths.
That's what you do.
Right? And you tie them together and you make like, you never see that someone escapes a jail with the tying together the sheets. Yeah. What does it tell us this? It says, take the garments and put them under your arms where the ropes are going to pull you out. Just say, they took the 30 men and they pulled them out. It shows what a righteous man this person was. The Bible cares to tell us that he didn't want you. He could give him some real serious rope burns like that. The ropes probably were not so smooth like they are today. So point out to him, put the ropes into the clothes and wrap the clothes around your arms. And when we pull you up, we don't harm you. That's kind of silos yodecha, means your armpits. And they pulled him out and he remained in the courtyard. Matzara means like the guard's courtyard. So Vishlach HaMelech Tzidkiyo Ve'ikach Es Yirmiyahu HaNavi Elav El Mavo HaShlishi Asher Beveis Hashem Ve'emar HaMelech LeYirmiyahu Shoel Ani Oscha Devar Al Techared Mimeni Devar. Tzidkiyo picked him out and brought him into the third floor, or the third entry, if you will. Third entry meaning a secret place, a place where no one would see him. Another sign of tremendous weakness of the king. I don't want anyone to know that I have Yirmiyahu with me. And he said, Yirmiyahu, I'm going to ask you something. Do not hide anything from me. Yirmiyahu said, Kiyo, ki agid loch halo hameis timiseini, v'chi yotzcha lo tishma elai. Yirmiyahu said, if I tell you what you should do, you'll kill me. And if I don't tell you, and if you ask me for advice, you won't listen to me. Right? This is my experience with you, Tzidkiyo. After all, go back to chapter 21, 24, 36, all over you're asking me. Maybe God will perform one of the miracles he's so used to performing. Maybe over time, we've gone back and forth to look at these so many times already, for goodness sakes. Vayishava ha-melech Tzidkiyo el Yirmiyahu b'seisur l'mor. Tzidkiyo secretly took an oath. Again, secretly. He doesn't want anyone to know about this. Chai Hashem, asher asol lanu es ha-nefesh hazos. As the Lord lives, I'm not going to kill you. I won't give you into the hands either of these people. Okay? A little cryptic statement where it says, Chai Hashem Asher, the word S doesn't belong there. Chai Hashem Asher Asolanu is HaNefesh HaZos. Strange. As the Lord lives, who made this soul?
Okay, yes. Maybe also like with Abraham, they called it the Nefesh.
Nefesh Yeshev Subachron. Yeah, that's Pshat.
So just people.
The Lord lives who made us, who made this soul that's here. It's just about probably the way that people used to take an oath back then. The hands of God who made us, who made this soul, who made us physical beings and spiritual beings, I will not allow anyone to take you. Okay, we are Yirmiyahu El Tzidkiyahu, Pasuk Yitzayin. Komar Hashem Elokei Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael, Im Yitzotei Tzeil Sarei Melech Bavel V'chayis Nafshecha, For here is Os Loti Sarev Ba'esh, V'chayisa Ato V'esecha. This is an essential Pasuk. This is one of the most important Pasukim that we've seen in a long, in many Pasukim. It's an official pronouncement that if you, Tzidkiyahu, give yourself up to the King of Bavel. After all, let's say this is now the year 590. Where is Jehoiachin right now? Your nephew who was taken captive by the Babylonians. Where is he? He's in Babel, captive. But he's in Babel, he's alive. If you give up, they won't kill you. They won't burn this city. Right? You and your sons will live. Think of different things could have been. If you lotzei tzeil sarei melech Babel, v'nitz nohar ir azos biyad hakastim, u'srefua ba'esh, v'atalo simalit miyadam. If you don't give yourself up, and you hold yourself up here, and you hold out, and you fight, then you and your sons will surely die.
But why just him and his sons? What about the others? Oh, it means everybody will be saved or not.
The city won't be destroyed if you give yourself up. But it's all totally in you. You know, you and if you can convince the others, you're king. After all, what is a king supposed to do? But make unpopular choices sometimes. Okay. All right, Lise, would you read your test? Vayomer Amel Tzidkiyahu.
Vayomer Amel Tzidkiyahu. Yirmiyahu. Ani dohei getza yividim asher naflu el akastim. Penget nu oti biadam v'itzavu levi.
He says, "What is he afraid of? I'm afraid of the Jews who have deserted and gone to the side of the Kastim. That if I give myself up, they'll take me and Yisalalubi." The exact words that Shaul said about the Plishtim. Yisalalubi, they'll torture me.
Right? It says here they'll mock me.
Mock me?
Yeah.
Yisalalubi.
Mock me.
That's probably closer to the Pshat. No, if you there is a usage of that. Listen to this pasuk. Shalom Moshe, Bo El Paro. Right? So he says, "I'm doing all of this so that you can see, you can tell your sons, Ace Asher Hisalalti b'Mitzrayim." So, in that pasuk, I probably could mean that I was mocking. Right? It could also mean that I was torturing them. There's no question about that. When Shaul fell on his sword because he outright said, "I do not want those Plishtim to capture me, be he salalupi," I can't believe that all that he was afraid of was that they would mock him. Plishtim would do a lot more than mock him or capture king, right? Esa shirhi salalti. Say like this. "You may relate in the ears of your son and your son's son that I made a mockery of Egypt." Huh? Wow, the Targum is even more strange. It says, Targum is Yas Nisin Diavodis B'Mitzrayim. The miracles that I said that I did, Avodin, like Ito Oleil, means to perform. Yeah, Ayin Lamed Lamed.
So here the Targum.
Nicholas Reshpam Rabbeinu B'Chaye. Love first cause. Translation follows Rashi. Sachakti kimo ki hitalalta bi. Yeah, all right. It works there. when Balak saw that, that Bilam was, I'm telling you to curse and you're blessed. He says, you talal to be. There, it doesn't mean you're torturing me. It could, it means you're mocking me. Right?
So here the Targumite said, it says, v'yit la'avon bi, so it's like to shame me?
In the Torah, be it la'avun. La'avun be.
In the great rabbis.
Yeah, lamed ayin bet would mean to do with mocking.
What does targi mean?
Translation. Okay. Quotes the same pasuk Rashi quotes in the Torah. See? But there's no question that when Shaul uses the terminology in Shmuel Aleph, when he's afraid, maybe he's afraid that they'll capture him and mock him and make a shanda from him. It says here, Dukaruni bet pen yavo harili ma'ele u dukaruni vihidalalubi.
So what does English say?
Abuse me. Here it says.
Dukaruni is with the sword?
Hidalalubi.
No, but there's two words, one right after the other.
Hidalalubi, same exact words.
No, but it's dukaruni and
dukaruni vihidalalubi.
So what does it say there? Does it
just pierce me and abuse me.
Okay.
Here it's vihidalalubi, torture me. Here it says torture. That's probably what it means in this context, no? It's a word that can mean a lot of different things based on the context. All right? So it's a nice exercise in a shoresh, because Rashbam says it's not even... It just means do something to me. So it depends on the context.
That's not a word that's used with Yitzchak and Yishmael, is it?
No. Olal, ayin lamed, is used just in a power of sense, just to do something. V'meyimiyahu lo yitain u'shmana b'kol Hashem l'asher adidu v'reilecha v'yitav l'cha u'sechi nafshecha. Right? Those people you're afraid of will not help you. If you're afraid they'll hurt you, trust me, the Babylonians will hurt you more if you don't listen to me. Right? V'im pasuk chafalef, v'im ma'ena talatzeis, ze adavar asher hirani Hashem. And if you don't make your way out, give up the land to the Babylonians. This is what God has told me what will happen. Okay, this is not for the weak hearted. V'inei kol hanoshim asher nishru beveis melech Yehuda mutzaos al sarei melech Bavel. V'inei amros hisisucha v'yachlu lecha anshei shlomecha hot be'u babots raglecha nasogu achor. There's called the Shachav as Banechal Mutzim Melkastim Vatalosimalay Miyadam. Kibiyad Melach Babel Tito face, Vasira Zostis Rov Baish. They will kill you. They will kill your sons. You will not escape. They'll burn this city. You know who they will take? All your daughters. The women they'll take, and you know what that means. Right? Okay. You will not escape this city if you don't. I'm telling you, give it up. It's like a gamble. He said, well, maybe I should listen to Yirmiyahu, and maybe he's wrong, but I just know that I can't, if I don't listen to Yirmiyahu, he's not going to kill me. But if I fight against those the strong men and my people who are threatening me, they might kill me. So he's worried. Right? Pas vi chavtala chil. Vayomitzitkiyahu.
Vayomitzitkiyahu el Yirmiyahu. Isha yidah b'barim ha'ele v'lo tamat.
Don't let anybody know what you just said. Otherwise, they'll certainly kill you. Again, another sign of weakness. You have five or six signs of weakness right here in this parak. You're the king, for goodness sakes. Stand up for what's right. And there's indication earlier in the Sefer that he knows Yirmiyahu is a prophet. He tells him, God speaks to you. Tell me what is God saying to you now. You're only a prophet when I like what you're saying?
Right? Did you ever say anything to people like?
Well, none that's written in this book. Except for chapter 31. A little bit in chapter 23. A tiny bit in chapter 16. A little bit in chapter 2.
He does say that they will be saved again.
Yeah. Of course, that's chapter 31. וכי ישמעו אסירים, כי דיברתי איתך, ובואו אליך ואמרו אליך, הגידנו לנו, מה דיברת אל המלך? אל תכחד ממנו, ולא נמיסך. ומה דיבר אליך המלך? And when the people ask you, this is not the first time we've had this, we've had this back in 36, when the people ask you, what did you tell the king? Because they may see that you, you know, they'll be upset with me that they took you out of the mire, out of the teat, remember, out of the clay. But if that's, you know, if that's the... they see you come out from my palace. Fair. So when they ask you, what did you tell the king? Make sure of Amarta Lehem. Mapila nitchina silifne melech levilti hashiveni beisyon asana mosham. All I told him was, please don't take me back to the stocks, the prison. Please don't take me back there. Just tell them that's all you said. That's all we talked about. And this way, at least they won't take you back to prison. Because they'll say that the king, you know, is in on it. V'evo kol ha'sirim al yirmiyahu v'yishalu oso v'yaged lahem k'chol gvim ha'ela ha'shev tzivu ha'melech v'yichrishu m'menu ki lo nishma ha'davar. When they ask Yirmiyahu, so what did you tell the king? Yirmiyahu said, you know what? I've had it with these people. I didn't tell them. No one knew. V'yichrishu m'menu ki lo nishma ha'davar. The thing was not heard what he talked about. וישב ימיהו בחצר המטרה עד יום אשר נלכדה ירושלים. והיה כאשר נלכדה ירושלים. Strange pasuk. But this is it. This is essentially the end of the book. Ymiyahu stayed there until Yerushalayim was destroyed. Now what's going to happen is chapter Lamentes, Perek Lamentes, Perek Mem Aleph, Perek Mem Beis, Gimel. All talk about that destruction and even the aftermath. The appointment of Gedaliah, the assassination of Gedaliah, right? All that is in the next four parakim. Now, we did those four parakim kimat, in some cases verbatim, when we learned Malachim a few years ago, right? But it's been long enough, so we should repeat it. Yeah. And then in Perek Mem Dalet, Mem Dalet, Mem Hei, Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, Mem Tes, Nun, Nun Aleph. Eight prakim is Yirmiyahu giving what he said he would give when he was first became a Navi, the first day. Hashem told him, Navi lagoyim nisaticha. You're a Navi for the nations. He tells what all the nations, of major nations of the world, was going to happen to them. And those eight prakim. And then Nun Beis, he repeats, he goes back to the destruction, he repeats some of the description of the destruction. Last parak in Yirmiyahu was the same as the last parak in Sefer Malachim. Okay. So we see what the rest of Yirmiyahu is really very well mapped out. Four prakim describing the korban, eight prakim about the nations, one parak to finish off on the korban, and then we're finished with the
Sefer. As opposed to the rest of the book, the flip flops back and forth in time.
Yeah, this now is pretty much set up. Yeah, he's only going to stay in Zikir. There's nothing more about Yehoyakim, nothing more about Yehoyachin, nothing more about Yehoshiyahu, nothing. Straight.
Okay.
So do I.